We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Pastime Paradise, As I Wish. Many are familiar with the original versions of these songs by music legend Stevie Wonder. He put together these tracks in 1976 for his groundbreaking album, Songs in the Key of Life, a mixture of funk, jazz, pop, and soul.
The album will be getting a new look in Wonder Uncovered, the latest in a series of performances that unite local musicians and producers to reinterpret songs of distinguished artists.
Dave Wake of local music groups De La Buena and Aloar Pearls and Tariq Moody of that radio station across town, 88.9, both have prior experience with Uncovered shows and are this edition's curators.
Wake explains to Lake Effect's Mayon Silver how Wonder was chosen as the highlighted artist this time around.
I was the musical director for an Uncovered show that Jordan Lee did, Quincy Jones Uncovered, and I had already had this thought bouncing around in my head, and the show got done. It was elation, and I was breaking down my gear, and then my sister came up on the stage and said, "You know what the next one needs to be." And I looked at her, and I think we said simultaneously, yeah, Stevie Wonder, because we had grown up with Stevie Wonder. My dad was a huge Stevie Wonder fan, and this album in particular was always on at our house. So we talked about that as I was breaking my gear down and had a big hug, you know, all that good stuff, and then moved over to Transfer for after the show. And then Tariq and I were sitting at the bar at Transfer, is rapping, and Tariq said, "Got to do Stevie Wonder. And I want to do Songs in the Key of Life. It's going to be coming up on its 40th anniversary, and it's such a great album, and I love doing albums." And so talk about synchronicity. I just had the conversation with Laura, and, I mean, we didn't plan it. Tariq and I, he just had the same thought bounce around in his head. So we were sitting there, and he mentioned it, and I was like, yes. So that was April of 2015, and that's kind of when the seed was planted, when the idea was born.
So, Tariq, I got to ask you then, why Songs in the Key of Life?
Well, I guess I grew up with that album, and I feel like certain artists have a perfect album. Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life is his perfect album, probably his best work. I personally think he could never get any better than what he did on that album. And plus, it was 40 years later, and, you know, I'm in my 40s, so it's kind of coincides with my age. I grew up with it, and how much it was impacted me musically and sonically, how different each song was lyrically. And now some of those lyrics even more represent what's going on in our culture right now. So it all came together for me that way.
What are some of those examples of things that are still timely? Do you have any off the top of your head?
Like for our songs?
Yeah.
Well, definitely Black Man talks about the history of different people.
First man to die for the flag we now hold up was a black man. The ground where we stand with a flag held in our hand was first a red man.
And like the song, how we reinterpret it is trying to bring it kind of modern. We changed some of the lyrics to represent like local figures and national figures of today. Other songs,
Village Ghetto Land, another really big
Pastime.
Yeah,
was it Pastime?
Pastime Paradise.
Pastime Paradise. Yeah, yeah. Especially Village Ghetto Land. You know what's going on with like Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. I mean, it's very, those lyrics are very current, even though they came out in 1976.
Yeah, isn't it crazy that Stevie Wonder was 26 years old when he made that album?
We keep on coming back to that. We have been talking about that because it feels like he's timeless. And then you think he's in his 60s still. And it's amazing what he's done, you know, in a relatively small amount of time.
Well, I read that there were 2.5 years of nonstop recording on two coasts in four studios with over 130 people involved in the recording of Songs in the Key of Life. He recorded several hundred tracks as for this album.
That makes a lot of sense going through them. Because I was working with one of the artists, Ernie Broussobardis, violin player. Him and I were working on the string arrangements the other night. And you kind of listen to them and they're very Baroque. Everything is very well placed, but the more you dig into it, you realize that he was kind of just riffing
down my dead end street. Would you like to come with me to Village Ghetto Land?
This was on Village Ghetto Land. he was riffing over like a very simple rhythmic pulsing idea, and then he was laying like cello lines. It was all with synth strings, probably an arp or something like that, but he's laying synth strings and he's just riffing on it. So every single verse, there are little nuances that change every time. And it was, I mean, it's just very interesting. I mean, we were making choices and then again reimagining these lines, but also trying to get into the spirit of what was going on. And you realize that he must have just tracked and tracked and had all these ideas. He was just pouring out into it and then going through and editing later to build the arrangements as they are.
So it kind of seems like he was uncovering his own music. So what is it like, you know?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, this has been 2 years, and we've not only do we have over 40 people, probably close to 50, because we've brought in some children.
And it's a multi-generational cast of musicians. So literally you have kids to people in their 50s in the show. So probably 3-4 generations of musicians.
Well, I want to talk about the musicians, but first I want to ask you guys about collaborating with each other. You guys are both coming from kind of different perspectives, different backgrounds. What do you guys, how has it been working together, and what do you guys bring?
Well, he is the talent, arrangements, and I have the ideas, I guess you would say, the best way to look at it. Like the thing, I used to take piano and all that, but like I hear ideas, musical ideas in my head all the time, but it comes out like garbage. So I can tell him my ideas, and then he makes it, like, amazing. So that's kind of the way it goes. I mean, he is Milwaukee's Quincy Jones to me, I think, probably.
Thank you. Well, yeah. And it's I've had respect for Tariq and kind of watched him and observed how he works for years and just sort of gleaned because he's such a luminary of Milwaukee music. And you know, and I'm always getting turned on to new music just by checking Tariq's blog and just kind of seeing what he's digging in on. And so we started this process and we brought in Q the Sun and Thane, this up-and-coming artist, this young man who's just really...
20 years old.
Yeah, hungry, talented, no, you know, kind of isn't playing with a lot of boundaries that older musicians might impose upon themselves. He's really wide open. So we started having these meetings that were in the very early in the process where we just looked at all the songs and thought, how, you know, very broadly, how do we want to approach this? And so I'm sitting here and I've got this kind of arranger's mind and stuff like that. And then Tariq and Kieran and Thane are just like, I mean, all this new music that they're constantly absorbing, and it just kind of came out in this cool stew. It was like literally like we were starting we've been at that process now for maybe 8-9 months since we started those first meetings. So, and it was like we were putting the onions in and starting the first spicing and just letting it and then stirring it around a little, adding little ingredients and saying, okay, then later on, let's cut up some broccoli here to add it later or whatever. Let's get a little okra in there. And so we had, you know, really good foundation that I think that like both of our strengths were being played to because we just threw out as many ideas. We gave ourselves time enough to throw out as many ideas as possible for Tariq to say, check out this artist, you know, when we'd be talking about a concept and we'd go home and pour over some of that artist and say, oh, yeah, we could maybe do that. And at the same time, our own organic process, but we are all products of our influences as well. So we're recognizing that.
Okay, I want a specific example, if it's possible, of a song, a Stevie Wonder song from Songs in the Key of Life that you take and you listen to and then you dissect. I want to know what that process is like and what kind of some of the final projects are starting to look like.
Like a sneak peek, you're saying?
Yeah, like a sneak peek.
Without giving too much,
right.
Of course.
Maybe Another Star.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Oh,
yeah.
Another Star. So yeah. That has a lot of Latin influence, right?
Yes. Another Star came on. I was like, ooh, this is like old Chicago house, Latin house stuff style. Like, let's do that. Let's blend Latin styles but bring it into like a Latin house club and like pulsing beats and stuff. But then on the top of it, let's translate the lyrics into Spanish. So actually, it's going to be sung in Spanish.
So we have a very talented DJ who was in Milwaukee and now lives in Chicago by the name of Bumback Joe. And so we started talking. We're like, who could do a really cool like Latin house remix? And then I think we both at the same time. Again, there's been a lot of serendipitous moments, which is a good sign, I think. And even, not to get too tangential, even in some of the arrangements, I feel like we're kind of on the right track because different people independently have come in with certain ideas on different songs that somehow tie together. In this particular case, Tariq and I looked at each other, I think might at the same time said, Bumback Joe. And so we started translating it, and it's really, I think, going to be a really cool arrangement.
Something definitely danceable, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, you guys are reinterpreting mm-hmm. everything. Are the lyrics off limits? I mean,
no.
No.
I'd say before, but like Black Man, if you're familiar with Black Man, there's like shout outs to historical figures. We kind of reinterpret it and try to bring it to a local element. So there will be, instead of some of the figures that Stevie Wonder mentioned on Black Man, we actually try to bring in a local. Maybe you might hear a shout out to Val Phillips or Father Grappi, or to even some national current historical people as well. And I mentioned Another Star that's translated into Spanish. And nothing's off limit. We feel it fits our concept, then we'll mess with it and have fun with it.
And we brought in some hip hop artists as well. And so we have taken a couple of the tunes and set them up a little bit like the original with some elements changed. And then, you know, taking the bare bones original arrangement and then putting an electronic element, like having Cue the Sun do a beat. And then we brought in a couple of rappers, local rappers, Taj Raiden, who's up and coming, a very talented rapper, and Adam James, who's known as Phantom Channel from the Rusty Peas. So it's sort of like new. And again, the multi-generational thing was really important to us. Having kind of some of the old guard and the new up and coming and getting them together. I mean, this is bigger than just the show. We want to connect the scene. Milwaukee is obviously known as a very segregated place in more ways than one, and it does play through in the art scene where there's a lot of cliques and, you know, incredible talent, but doesn't come together all that often. So we're trying to find people from all sides of town, all genres, different age ranges that can work together and discover new relationships with each other.
Yeah, Tariq, what would you say that this type of collaboration, this musical collaboration, adds to Milwaukee?
People after the show exchange phone numbers and start performing together. So that is the biggest thing that I love about doing this, besides just the process. Don't get me wrong, I love the end product and watching what happened after fruition of months and months of work. But the process and seeing people work together and the fact that some of these people actually, after the fact, start working together long after the show makes me, like, giddy and happy.
You know, the performances used to be at the Pittman Theater, and now it's at Turner Hall. Are there any sort of unique characteristics that you're playing towards with that space?
Yeah, there are. We are attempting to have a captive audience in Turner Hall, which is not necessarily how the space is set up. A beautiful room, not a theater like the Pittman, though. And so one thing we are going to want to make our audience aware of is that when it becomes a nice, sensitive, quiet song, we want people to be listening. We want people to be aware of their surroundings. There's so much to Stevie Wonder's music that hits on other senses. In our current society, there's a lot based on visuals. And obviously, Stevie Wonder has honed his other senses, and we want to also pay homage to that. Again, Turner Hall is a beautiful old room with many features that can be used theatrically more than just a concert setting. So we have some numbers that are big dance numbers, but we have some really tender moments, too, that we've written into the show that we want to be able to pull off with the crowd being aware of that so that they can fully take in the entire emotional scope of the show, if you will. Yeah, especially in some of the numbers and some of the treatments we've given them where we're breaking down from 20 to 30 people on stage to two people in an undisclosed location that will be performing a much more tender piece that's much quieter, that's much, I guess, asking a lot more of the listener than just somebody going to a concert, because there's going to be some really subtle elements in the show, I think, that we're hoping that very powerful as well. You know, you don't have to hit people over the head in order to have a powerful effect on them if it's the right kind of audience.
David Wake and Tariq Moody, thanks so much
sure.
for coming on Lake Effect.
Thanks,
you.
Man.
Dave Wake and Tariq Moody are curators of Wonder Uncovered, a reinterpretation of Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life, which is on stage tomorrow night at Turner Hall Ballroom. They spoke with Lake Effect Mayon Silver, and you'll find more information at WUWN.com.
She starts talking soft and sweet, like birds of spring humming.